solar-powered, Bluetooth-enabled, embedded video capture device. And he talks about bees. So I'm also waiting to see it fly. Okay, so I'll hand it over to Jamie, who's going to do his presentation.
Thanks, Mark. Mark's being a bit disingenuous. He actually put the title up, and I have to live up to the expectation, which I'm not sure I can. But to help me along, it's a little bit interactive. I have got two jars of honey here as prizes. So the best question and perhaps the best answer. We'll see at the end, okay? See how we go.
Would you like to play
three? Okay. If we get a chance, I'll start off a little bit about bees. I actually will talk about solar-powered computers, low-powered computers, and a bit about Bluetooth, and about information points, remote area information points. Okay, and it's about follies. The follies are all mine, so share them with me, my unprofessional follies, please. Okay, short few slides about bees. Okay, they're in my backyard. This is my bees. All 5,000 of them live in one of my hives. They're social creatures. They share a lot. So one, some of the things we'll talk about, or I'll talk about, is sharing and how we all live together and work together because we share. But bees, mostly you want to leave them alone. Bees are made up of workers, drones and the queen. They live for short lives, except the queen. They only live for 6 weeks. So when a hive is in trouble, it goes to fires in their smokers, such as myself and my partner. Inside the hive, you have diseases, notifiable diseases, AFB, American foul brewing. A nasty disease will wipe your hive out. And you always have hive beetle, small hive beetle, and the moth, wax moth. I've got a couple of wax moth in my hive right here. So I'll let them out later on. Just here. The heavy box. Okay. But things generally go well. Bees are workers. They multiply. They're very strong. And in about spring, their natural tendency is to swarm. They'll split the hive. They will grow to such a point that put pressure on the hive. And the queen, if she is a natural swarmer, will tend to leave the hive with a whole lot of other bees and go and set up somewhere else. And that's what a swarm looks like if you see it in the wild. It's not the wild, you'll see it in your street if you look for it. Before I raised bees, I never saw a swarm. And now I see them all the time because I know what to look for. Swarming bees are frightening to humans. This is when they take flight, this photo. If you have a neighbour like I do who's allergic to bees and carries an EpiPen, there can be conflict. It would be good to get early detection of swarming behaviour. And a lot of people have studied this. Believe it or not, people spend their lives studying bees. One of the early warning signals is the production of queen cells. This is a queen cell from my hive, just one of them. It's an old queen cell, it's empty. If there's a queen inside it being raised, it's closed, and you're in trouble when that happens. The neighbour will be angry. In fact, I'll let you into a secret. Once you've got queen cells, it's too late. Their natural behaviour it's already in the cycle, two or three weeks, they will swarm, and nothing you can do about it. You can kill the hive. However, there's another way, and this is one I'm particularly interested in, the sound of a hive. A gentleman in the UK, who is a radio engineer for BBC, did a lot of research on it, and he found if you slap the side of the hive, the sound of a healthy hive makes a hissing sound. And a sign is still healthy, the sign of a hive that's on its way to swarming is a warble. So it'd be nice to be able to hit the side of a hive. So what do we need? Well, I've been a computer nerd. No, that one. Well, then, you know, being an uber nerd, a solar-powered insect-like thing that can crawl around and send pictures back to the to some remote device, that'd be the bee's knees, wouldn't it? Okay.
Do bees actually have knees?
No, they don't. What probably ends up camera on the end of a stick. I have one here. I'll show later on. That gentleman's wearing his Linux conference t-shirt. Okay, now it's not just about bees. Okay. I have ulterior motives. I'm interested in low-powered devices. I want to have a low-powered embedded device. I don't want to pay lots of money. I want to share my results with other people. Where is the platform? What platform can I use? Well, it's difficult. You know, people make embedded devices, but they make them in runs of 1,000. Even when you get a sample, you're really you're cheating them, because they're really selling it so that you'll make thousands of them. It's not the sort of thing we're used to in the software world, where we automatically share. So if I make some software to do this, how do I share it with other people? That's my question. So here's a typical Linux class controller. Not a bad one. Looks well made from the photo. It's from an Israeli company, I think well represented in the US. It says 50 US per 1,000, but then, you know, development kit, $1,000. And you add RAM, you add this and you add that. You could get a gum stick. The problem with this is the software, it runs Linux, a version of Linux, often it's tailored to their particular hardware, and they're supporting their hardware, and, you know, it's fine if you're in with the manufacturer, but, you know, it hasn't got that same sense of we're all in it together. I'll go and ask Joe Bloggs, I'll get on the forum and say, hey, I've got this, how do I get around this problem? A mate of mine, Graham Kelly, he's got another way of doing it. He's taken, what brand is this, Ronson? A Ronson oven, he's put a couple of halogen cells in it, and, you know, he's going to make a solder reflow oven. Okay, now I don't know how he's going to place the little bits and pieces on it. I have no idea how he's going to do that.
Tweezers and a magnifying glass.
Well, what's that? Yeah, well, that's the other side. He's into PGA and they're power suckers. So I can't see it. My eyes are too old for that. And I really want sort of something simple. So here's my experiment. Okay? It's not a project, it's an experiment. I want to have a solar-powered device because my hives are remote. Okay? Or I'll get to my next project in a minute. I want to use commodity hardware, and the thing has to be wirelessly accessible. I chose Bluetooth because it seemed the lowest power. I'm beginning to think that may not have been right. Okay, can you create a critical mass using that device? And there is a device that I think is suitable. Okay? The Linksys NSLU2. It's a network storage device, low-end network storage device. 8 meg flash, 32 SD RAM, two 2.0 USBs and Ethernet. The power looks good. Looks well made. There's some funnies about it, but, you know, again, lots of people have got them. Lots of people are playing with them. What can I do with my device? Again, commodity hardware. To hear my warbling and my hissing, I might have a little USB audio device. That's up the top. Magic Fairy, $20 at my local computer shop. Over here, I think B-Dale is talking at the same time as me. That's a high-speed USB 2 capture device that's used in the GNU radio. And that's interesting itself. That actually represents another way of possibly getting these devices made. A guy in Bulgaria makes these, and you know, that was just the credit card, and I thought I'd never see that credit card again, you know. But lo and behold, 2 weeks later, this beautiful yellow box with lovely Cyrillic writing on it arrives, and sure enough, there's this USB to the Cypress chip. Very nice chip. I thought I would need a high-speed device to do the video capture, but in fact, it turned out not to be the case. A 2 gig thumb drive. Thumb drives have got their own problem. And this is a little USB dongle. No soldering. I short-circuited the camera on the end of a stick and went for a webcam. And this webcam is a luxury device, high quality device for $22. It has an audio plug. I think it's stereo too, but it's a stereo audio plug. Yeah. Not quite right. The little LEDs are not IR LEDs, so they would have to flash on inside my beehive to see things, but that's probably all right. It's just slow taking the picture. More commodity stuff. Solar panels are 12 volt. Batteries are 12 volt generally, 12 or 24 volt. So you need to run your 5 volt device. And the cheapest thing, this is $10 from JCar. It's a little 12 5 volt inverter doodad. In fact, I actually use this in its housing just to protect it a little bit, because we'll get to my handy woodwork in a minute. I did some soldering on this because I took the 5 volts out, not just, this is a USB interface, and the Slug NSLU2 device can be driven from its USB, power driven from its USB port, but I actually liked to have 5 volts coming out to a normal power plug. Okay. Oh, a little tip, if you're following this and thinking, oh, I'll do this. Just make sure it's got enough juice, 850 milliamps. When you start putting disk drives and thumb drives and everything, we'll get to the power management part of it, but you know, I had originally a 450 milliamp device, which I couldn't understand why disk drive didn't spin up. Okay, a digression. Commodity device. How many beekeepers are there that are, you know, interested in computers? Well.
There's a second one.
Oh, okay. So around the same time, someone contacted me with a requirement for an experiment to do with education. And the educational experiment was called situated learning. And the idea was that students would take a mobile computing device. In this case, this guy had a dozen tablet PCs. I don't know what his budget was, but pretty good. Out into the field, termite mounds, botanic gardens, salt pan creeks down at Cronulla, down at, not Cronulla, down Georges River. And they would be able to access some kind of Wi-Fi device and learn about the device. And it went to the point where you could actually contact a person and interact with a person. And this experiment was to prove this educational theory, and it's a well-developed educational theory called situated learning, that people learn better when they're in this situation. Sounds crazy to me to spend thousands of dollars on computer hardware. Because I thought, well, kids have all got mobile phones. Or, you know, someone got quite high-end mobile phones. The idea was that I would use the same platform, my solar-powered NSLU2 device, as an information point for this experiment, and people would interact with it via Bluetooth. Maybe a PDA, maybe a mobile phone. Let's see how the experiment goes, he thought. Okay, this is it. It's constructed out of release the moth. PVC pipe, plumber's pipe, $2 worth of aluminium strips, 110 watt solar panel, two ends to that, and a bit of woodwork. Now, as a woodworker, I'm like a great soccer engineer. So, this is the device, just held together with cable ties, battery, voltage regulator. You need a voltage regulator with solar. I'll get into that. Bit of terminals, panic stuff. A USB hub, which sucks power incredibly. I used a multimeter to check it out, but what I really, really want is a nicer regulator. I want a little microchip controlled regulator. That's what I really want. I want someone in this room to design one. And I can tell you the AVR application note, 450, which will tell you how to do it. So we need a regulator that goes from 12 volts, regulates the 12 volts from the solar panel, which is up to 20 volts into the battery. You don't want to overcharge the battery. And then out of the battery, you've got to get 5 volts. And I want the computer to know when the battery's going down. Because solar panels, we're entering a new world with power and energy. We have to be more aware of it. And if you play with solar power, it's a very good way of understanding energy. Because, you know, when I was young, a 266 megahertz computer was pretty good. You know, we compiled programs. We did a lot of things with them. I made a printed circuit board design package on a 80 megahertz PC. So, you know, where are we going? With solar energy, you really need to read a book or a very good website. It's not as simple as you think. It's quite involved. Must always observe safety. This battery can deliver an enormous amount of power in a very short time, and it'll fry your electronics very nicely. I've melted a few pieces of wires. Yeah. So, you know, fuses. Also, the battery, I don't think hydrogen buildup will be a problem with this size battery, but, you know, again, I'm sharing this with people, and maybe there should be some holes in the case of this thing. Ventilation holes. At the moment, it's just a solid tube. So, yeah. Power monitoring would be great. Now we get to the real, really nice bit. Run Debian. Debian on the slug is amazing. I really can't, just cannot say how wonderful that is. It's got problems, but to go and install Debian and just do apt-get install, blah, 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 have the Bluetooth working, have all this stuff working. The C compiler was installed. This is on 2 gig thumb drive, all fitting in 650 meg. To me, that was amazing. Perl, Python, you know, it's fantastic. I had another slide there. I think I've missed it. It was called Lies and Truth. The lies, you know, don't worry about disk space. The memory's cheap. You know, the processes are getting faster all the time, and the power comes from a hole in the wall, and it always will. They're the lies. The truth, well, you know, it is nice to have a good environment. It's nice to have a good developing environment, and that's where Linux, you know, really saves you a lot of work. It saves you so much. It's the sharing thing. You know, other people are looking at the same problem as you. For example, on that NSLU2, on this device here, that's it there, there's a particular hardware problem where, I think it might actually be a Debian kernel problem, but it doesn't, the real-time clock locks up and it doesn't get reset properly. Now, if you've got a dead device, it's the most frustrating thing in the world to sit there and say, why does this device do this, not to work? But to search and find Yeah, this is what you do. You take the battery out, leave it for a few minutes and put it back in, and it's reset and it's all good. I mean, that just saved my life, really. Particularly, it was a few days ago. Okay, and just to get it going, there's just a few things I installed. What does it say? Yeah. I don't know, that's another mystery, isn't it? I know. So, all this is great, eh? You know, you spent $22 on a camera and you spent $10 or $22 on a hub and a little $28 Bluetooth device and the battery was $25, great. No. Webcams are a problem under Linux. These USB class of webcams, you just can't keep up. There's a guy in France, very valiant, trying to keep up, but unless you get the specific model that you know it works, it's hard, it's tough. The webcam, let me just backtrack a bit. The webcam consists of the CMOS sensor, lens CMOS sensor, and then typically on the other side is the controller, and the controller is a USB controller plus what you really want is a MJPEG compressor. So the controller's got a JPEG compressor in it. So that will get your bandwidth down so it's reasonable. Okay. Otherwise, your bandwidth is just... the spin down on the USB IDE drives. I have a little IDE drive here, which I will plug that in a minute, I hope. So the spin down is controlled by the USB interface. It's just a normal AT IDE drive. Notebook drive inside this. Most of them don't have spin down control, which is deadly for power. The flash. I've been using a flash drive and so far it's worked, but I haven't field tested this. I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, you can do things like, stop the log files and other things like that, but if you're going to be writing stuff, how long does it really last? Don't know. The devices themselves usually got poor build quality. The solder joints are usually poor, so you could be fixing things. This solar panel is not big enough for my project. It actually needs to be a 20-watt solar panel. The power requirements of the device between 4 and 8 watts. You think a solar panel would be enough? 10-watt solar panel would be enough? No. You need a duty cycle, 3 or 4 to 1, something like that at least. A little bit about Bluetooth, because this is, again, about this device, this information point, the situated learning information point. What is Bluetooth? Part of this was an experiment about Bluetooth and what is actually supported in devices. Bluetooth has all these profiles, RFCOM, OBEX, and PAN. Done is another profile. Okay, now a typical low-end phone will support OBEX, which is simply sending and receiving pictures or sounds. It's not the full networking that we're hoping for. To browse over TCP/IP, to send phone calls over TCP/IP would be great. Even high-end phones don't really have it. It's often disabled. I suspect because the carriers don't want it. It's a bit annoying. The devices are capable of so much, and they don't do it just simply because they're turned off. S60 devices, which is the typical very high-end Symbian S60, Nokia Symbian E60, N73s, things like that. You can run a little package called GnuBox to trick your phone into kind of web browsing over TCP/IP. Even that's not very good, because the way they use the TCP/IP is using the RFCOM or serial interface inside of Bluetooth using PPP. They're not using the PAN, the personal area network. So that's just saying the same thing. So my dream of taking a little PDA, $300 palm top, say for example, and using this situated learning experiment, maybe not so good. Bluetooth on mobiles, there are all sorts of things involved. JSR82 is a Java thing. As an interesting aside, there's a thing called blue spamming. I don't know if anyone's come across that. Anyone come across blue spamming or blue jacking? If your phone's left sufficiently open, this thing could detect your phone. If I power it up, it's called Beehive Zero, if you go and scan for it. And the thing is capable of just pushing a picture to you, a sound, a text message, a calling card, if you like. I was interested in that because a lot of advertising companies had done some work there. So I thought that might be used in the future, you know, as a information point rather than advertising point. Okay. Well, I'm in your hands now. I can try and demo this thing, or I can answer questions, or I'll do both at the same time. One of the things I would love to be able to record is the sound of Queen's piping. There's only a few recordings ever been made of it, but it's quite unique. When the queen is hatched, she comes out of her queen cell and she emits a sound. It's a piping or a duck quacking sound. And only the queen is capable of making that sound because of her thorax. Her thorax is large enough to make the sound. She's calling for other queens. Unfortunately, she's calling for other queens to kill them. So I would love to be able to record that sound. Okay, any questions? Bob. Yep, 100 milliamps. No, I was aware there was one more. I didn't know there was three more. Yeah. I don't have the quite the same courage as you, Bob. I did put in the serial pins, and even that frightened me because I drilled them, and around about that time I had the problem with the watchdog timer. That's the real-time clock watchdog timer. Gets into a state where it won't reset, and I thought I had really done it then. And fortunately, I hadn't. I did the other mod, cut the resistor out for the 266 megahertz, and it runs really fast now. I mean, that's the other thing about this is the power. You know, why an ARM versus a Geode, that sort of thing. I suspect the ARM has got the edge for power. The Geode, that Israeli company that makes those devices, they've got the Geodes, similar range in Geodes, and the power consumption is much higher. So I suspect there's a reason for that. Yeah. Yes, sir. No, it's a simple answer. The problem is that when you buy these things, you're buying something on luck, and that's really a big problem because, you know, you can take it back, but I'll get very annoyed 30 times before it back. There are particular webcams that do work, the compact ones, and they're very nice. Their optics are very good. I got to a point with this that the controllers, the webcam controllers, are meant to work, but they just didn't for me. The controllers are, the guy who's done it has simply sniffed the USB bus and duplicated the sending of whatever it was. Now, I tried the same thing myself to see what was different, and it was different for my particular, even though the model number of the controller was the same, it's possible that the sensor was different to the sensor that he had done the work for. So that one's on hold, so to speak. Any more questions? Sorry? Yeah, the little yellow or white thing? It's a switch mode. It's meant to be 82%. Okay, it's J-car. It's just a straight thing from J-car. I mean, yeah, you can take it apart and look at it. It should be possible to get more out of it if if we have a little AVR controller or a little controller that can do a little bit better. Also, monitoring is what I really want. Well, see, the thing is, USB devices should be able to be powered down. So, you should be able to say, well, I don't need that right now. I'm going to power that down, and I'm going to go into hibernation right now because my battery's pretty low. Or if you had a GSM phone or something, or a LED light, something like that, just write a log file. I mean, that's the thing that really gets me is, you've got your Perl, your Python, your log files, all that stuff. Just there. That's what's really nice. They build the queen cells, yeah, and then they lay the eggs in it. Yeah? The thing about it, this is really a platform. That I can do all of those things. So it works. So your slapper. Enough happens in nature that this was a particular engineer who did this, and I think enough goes on that. Don't worry. Oh, you've got a. No. Where are my lines? There we go. Okay, in a minute or two, you'll be able to scan for it, and you'll see the Hive Zero. And if any of you got PAN-D, you can try connecting to it, or you can even try, if you want, one of you will get lucky and you're done. Yeah, yeah.
I deal with things that sit in the field in metal boxes where inside those metal boxes it easily reaches 70 degrees. Have you thought about cutting it up a bit, like where you might go with making so it won't fall apart in sort of 6 months?
No, that's a fair question. I am using stainless steel screws on my on my aluminium, and my regulator, I've used brass screws on the regulator. Now look, I put a temperature gauge inside it, and on some hot days it got up to 35, but that was without all this gear in it. So you're right, I mean, it's suck it and see.
I guess the question is, because the point of the project is to use, easily available to hardware.
Well, that's right, isn't it? It's really, the idea is, if there was a platform that became sufficiently popular, it would get cloned. And there's nothing, I mean, for someone who wants to produce 1,000 of these, who does that all the time, no problem at all. So the idea is to critical mass. So you get to a point where people are using it and it becomes popular. And that's really, it's a grassroots effort to get to that first step. Yeah, I mean, the point is it isn't engineered, so that is a true point, and, that it works is really just good luck.
Basically, the point that I'm making is that there are other communities doing really
Yeah. I mean, the wireless is... Yeah. The wireless is interesting. I mean, I started with Bluetooth because of the power requirements. The wireless needs a lot more power, but the wireless is now more popular. So you've got, you know, your Nokia phones and your PDAs are starting to have the Wi-Fi more in them. And when you buy these high-end phones, they're not driven so much by the they're not driven so much by the network providers. I mean, that's right, that's cool. No, I said leave them on, so I mean that's iPhone. iPhone is typical. You know, they want to, you know, sort of leapfrog beyond the network provider, get to the end consumer. I've touched this side, yeah? Candy, tell
me. I was just going to sort of say, we use the Surface board, Surface with an O-slash thing you find on the net. They're geo-based. They do use more power, I think, about 50 They are a full piece of platform.
Yes, it's compatible. You can copy your binaries straight off your desktop and run them on that, as long as you don't switch on any optimising.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I must give every bit of kudos to the Debian people who did the ARM work, though. I mean, to just go on, and this thing in 650 meg has got the C compiler, I compile applications, app get installed, the whole shebang. That was, I was very impressed with that. I mean, the geode, you're right. I mean, and that's the OLPC thing. They stuck with the 86. But you have got a lot of transistors in there. What are they doing?
It's got a compact flash support, so you can have a gig of compact flash. You don't need to use up the USBs for thumb drives. Compact flash is probably faster and more reliable on a thumb drive as well.
Yep.
We've had them up to 55 degrees ambient. They don't really blink, you know, some heat sink on them.
Yep.
No problem at all. They're a bit bigger than that.
Yep.
That's how you can drink your water with all the top resistors in a hot environment.
Yes.
What was missing from dumpsters?
I didn't bother. I see the gum sticks. Again, you are going with the manufacturer, right? And 2.4, and we'll release a 2.6 kernel and these mods and those mods. The Debian people have said, right, we are going to be independent. We're not really going to get any help. We're going to reverse do the Xscale, and they did it themselves. And I really think that's, you've got to be independent. I really think that the community has to sort of push what they want rather than, you know, we bought this device and I won't say anything bad about it because I bought it sort of thing, you know? That's often what happens. Yeah.
Come on, can I interrupt you?
Oh.
We're over time, so let's wind up the questions.
This afternoon, I'll leave it here and I hope to leave it on the Thursday open day so we can plug away SSH into it and all that sort of stuff.
One thing.
Quick. Bob, your question. You win the question. And who else?
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'll save it.
Just one more quick one. Here, which I'm not sure if everyone's aware of at the moment, is one of the reasons why I keep coming across the way is conferences. One, it is, it gives a chance for different people to get together and talk about what they can do and what can happen, and from that you can come up with other projects. So, Jamie's situated learning and the new green phone control tag look like a perfect opportunity to get together and build the system. Take it out in the field by students to actually go and do situated learning. So again, these are one of the reasons why I keep coming along to these lunch conferences, that this sort of interaction that actually happens. That's what I hope the rest of you will get out of it as well, too. Okay, thank you, Jamie.